The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
I believe we are in the third Sunday of Advent. You're wondering, why am I wearing this pink thing? It's not pink. It's rose. And we're in a penitential season, right? So this is giving us a glimmer of hope. The rose done with this penitential season. So what do you think I'd wear during Lent? No. What week in Lent? What's that? No, not the third. Because the sixth Sunday in Lent, or it is Palm Sunday, so that doesn't count. So there's really five Sundays in Lent. So the fourth Sunday is close to the end of the penitential season. At the church, we will have a short borders meeting. We have a sign up. If anybody bought something for that family, check it off. Or Steve, you will talk about that in borders meeting. Please rise and we begin to sing our first hymn.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. On this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Continue with the intro. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone.
The Lord is at hand.
Lord, you were favorable to your land.
You restored the fortunes of Jacob.
You forgave the iniquity of your people.
You covered all their sins.
You will not revive us again.
That your people may rejoice in you.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak.
For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Again I say rejoice.
Let your reasonableness be known to everyone.
The Lord is at hand.
Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Question 44 from the Catechism. How do we fear and love God in keeping the second commandment? First, we fear and love God by not using His name to swear thoughtlessly or meaninglessly, that is, in vain, or as a curse word. Exodus 20. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain. We fear love God by not using his name to try to manipulate God for our purposes in sorcery, as a magic charm, or to curse others. James 3. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. And they ask you to read Acts 19, Luke 9, Acts 23, and Deuteronomy 18. We should fear and love God by not using his name to lie to others or deceive them by speaking or teaching falsely about God. Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but to the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jeremiah 23. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy and lie in dreams, declares the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness, when I did not send them or charge them, so that they do not profit this people at all, declares the Lord. Then they want you to read Matthew 26, Leviticus 19, and Matthew 5. Second, we fear and love God by using his name to seek from him all good things for ourselves and others. John 16. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of my Father in my name, he will give it to you. 1 Timothy 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Luke 11 tells you how the Lord regularly called on his Father in prayer and taught his disciples to do the same. Call upon him in times of trouble. Psalm 50. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Then they ask you to read Isaiah 6, 36 and 37, and Matthew 27. Acknowledge in him the praise that all good things have come from him alone. Psalm 150. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Then they ask you to read Psalm 136 and 138. Read the Magnificat in Luke 1. And in Luke 1 also Zechariah's prophecy. Speak and teach truthfully about God in accordance with his word. Jeremiah 23. Let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. And they want you to read John 17 and notice the connection between God's name and truthfully teaching his word. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is written in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with verse 1. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring the good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with them. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth.
Stir up your might and come to save us.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel.
You who lead your Joseph like a flock.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Christians in Corinth, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 1. Let a man so consider us, as servants of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, if it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Stir up your might and come to save us. Alleluia.
Holy Gospel is written in the 11th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 2. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Athanasian Creed, inserted in your bulletin. If you need to sit, you may sit, otherwise you may stand. Whoever will be saved before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith.
Which faith is that everyone who believes he whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly.
And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost.
But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost.
The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate.
The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
And there are not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated, and one incomprehensible.
So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God.
And yet they are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord.
And yet not three lords, but one Lord.
For like as we are compelled by Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord,
so are we forbidden by the Catholic religion. There be three gods or three lords.
The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten.
The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten.
The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after other. None is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal, so that in all things, as is aforesaid, the unity of Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped.
He therefore that will be saved must think thus of the Trinity.
Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that we also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man.
God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world.
Perfect God, a perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting.
Equal to the Father as such in his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as such in his manhood.
Who, although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ.
One, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking manhood into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead.
He ascended to heaven, and stood on the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
And whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give an account of their own works.
And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire.
This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved. Please be seated.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
The theme is, Law and Gospel brings you comfort in the forgiveness of sins. John the Baptist is the quintessential preacher. That means that John is the best. He is what a preacher essentially should be. And if preachers were 2x4s, John would be used to measure all the other boards. Jesus himself says as much. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. You see, John perfectly did what every prophet was called to do before him, what all pastors are called to do after him. John prepares the way of the Lord. The Baptist prepared the way of Jesus' ministry in Israel by preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Preachers today prepare the way of Christ into the hearts of Christians, also by preaching repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Dear saints in Christ, immediately after the gospel reading, Jesus says, Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You know, pastors are not a super class of Christians. They are not superior to others within the kingdom of God. Nevertheless, the office to which preachers are called and the task entrusted to them is greater than any other on the earth. It is through the ministry of the word that God calls sinners to repentance and gives them saving faith in Christ. St. Paul goes so far to say that to Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. So preachers may very well be the least in the kingdom of heaven. Nevertheless, their preaching is the most important work in the kingdom of heaven. Through it, God saves sinners. Through their preaching, God prepares the way for Jesus Christ himself. This is why the Lord said to his apostles, The one who hears you, hears me. And the one who rejects you, rejects me. And the one who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. If you receive the preaching of God's messengers, then you receive Christ Jesus himself. However, if you reject their preaching, you're not simply rejecting a man, you're rejecting Christ himself. John sets the course for all ministers to prepare the way for the Lord by preaching law and gospel. That is what he is doing when he proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The preaching of the law is a call for repentance. The law tells you how God demands you to live, such as the Ten Commandments. Now, the law is good. The law is perfect. It expresses God's will to you. God's will for you is to love him with all your being and to love your neighbor as yourself. So try to find fault with that. Nevertheless, the law shows you your sin. It demonstrates to you that you do not do as the law requires. This is why St. Paul said in his letter to the Christians in Rome, For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. All of this is expressed with that little word, repent. To repent means to turn course. That's God's messenger's command you to turn course tells you that the course that you are on is wrong, that you are a sinner, and you must stop doing what you are doing, because it leads you to death and hell. And you must turn to do something else. What must you turn to? Well, before you begin to get on the right course, you must receive the forgiveness of sins. And the forgiveness of sins is found in the gospel. Well, actually, the gospel means good news. Like when the angel said to the shepherds, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." So then, strictly speaking, the gospel is the good news that God became a human being in the womb of the Virgin Mary, was born in Bethlehem to the adoration of shepherds, grew up as a righteous man before God and man, fulfilled the law in your place, even under severe temptation from the devil, suffered, died, and was buried for your sins, and rose again on the third day. That is the gospel. Nevertheless, you can't believe the details of the gospel without truly believing in the gospel. You can have knowledge of all Jesus' marvelous birth, life, death, and resurrection, but still not believe in the forgiveness of sins. That is the goal of the gospel, is for you to believe in the forgiveness of sins. Just as the goal of the law is for you to despair over your own righteousness, repent, and turn to Christ for forgiveness. The gospel fulfills God's demand for love. You see, Jesus completed all works of love in your place as a human being. God himself could not find any fault in Jesus, whether in thought, word, or deed. The gospel fulfills God's demand for justice against all lawbreakers. Sinless Jesus took on the sins of the whole world, became the only lawbreaker in the eyes of the law, and was punished in your stead, like a lamb to be slaughtered, as John himself said of Christ Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That is the gospel. Not only the various details of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, but what they mean, the forgiveness of sins for you. Both the law and the gospel show you God's perfect righteousness. The gospel differs from the law in that it's God's work, not yours. You receive the gospel, and with it the forgiveness of sins and salvation through faith. The law presents God's righteousness as something to work for you in order to obtain it. Scripture says, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." The gospel presents God's righteousness as a gift to be received by faith apart from your works. You see, both the law and the gospel show you the righteousness of God. But the law fails to save you because it depends on your works. Rather, the law makes you aware that you need to receive God's righteousness and salvation as a gift through faith. This is the relationship between the law and the gospel. However, the law and the gospel must never be mixed. This is done when it is said or believed that your good works in some way merit your salvation. But your good works can never merit your salvation. Salvation is a gift to be received through faith in Christ. The law and the gospel must never be mixed. Nevertheless, they must never be separated. The law without the gospel leads sinners to despair and self-righteousness. Both lead to hell. But the gospel without the law becomes meaningless. It's like giving dessert to someone already full. It's nauseating. and is disgusting and is despised. If the law does not convince you of your sin and bring you to repentance, then you cannot believe the gospel. The gospel is indeed preached to the whole world, but it is only the poor in spirit to receive it. This is why it is always necessary for preachers to preach the law. Moreover, the law is not popular with people. I mean, people don't like to hear about their sins, especially if you get specific. The idea that one ought to stop actually doing what he is doing, that what they are doing is wrong, and say sorry to God, seems dated, and it seems humiliating. Well, yes, it is outdated, and it is humiliating. God's word is from everlasting to everlasting, and the humble will be exalted. However, sadly, many Pharisee preachers are too afraid to preach against sin and call sinners to repentance. People might get mad or they might leave the church, but to forsake preaching the law does no service to the preaching of the gospel or to the sinner trapped in their sin. God spoke to the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel in chapter 33. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that a wicked person shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity. But you will have delivered your soul. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? John was not a reed shaking in the wind. And so pastors are called to resist the pressures of the present culture and speak only to the Word of God. Notice that at the beginning of the text, John is in prison. Why is John in prison? Because he preached against the unlawful divorce of King Herod's wife from her husband Philip, and the unlawful adulterous marriage of Herod's brother's wife. Now John was not afraid to preach the law, even to King Herod. He called King Herod to repentance. Nevertheless, instead of humbling himself and receiving the forgiveness of sins, Herod threw John in prison. And so preachers today should not let that fear keep them from preaching against the sins gripping society. If homosexuality, divorce for any cause, adultery, gossip, or drunkenness becomes acceptable, the preacher is still called to be a servant of Christ and a steward of God's mysteries. He must preach the whole counsel of God, calling sinners to repentance. Repentance must be preached so that sinners can receive the gospel of the forgiveness of sins as a gift. Dear saints in Christ, the gospel must predominate. This means that the entire message of the preacher must work toward the goal of Jesus dwelling firmly in the heart of the hearer. My goal in preaching is for you to have certainty that God accepts you for Christ's sake. This is the wonderful message of comfort. Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The message of every minister of Christ is comfort. Christ comes to dwell in your hearts through faith. He forgives your sins and gives you peace with God. With a heart repentant of sin and trusting in Jesus, you are ready to welcome Christ when he comes to you. And this gospel is a sure comfort, because the word of God stands forever. Amen.
Amen.
May all this peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Blessed are you, Heavenly Father. Give joy to your Church at the glad tidings of our coming Savior, and comfort us with the good news of his perfect life and sacrificial death for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Almighty God, through your Son, you bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the purposes of the heart. Give your Church faithful stewards of the mysteries, servants of Christ who are trustworthy to proclaim you alone as Lord and Judge. Tend your flock by your word and spirit, that your lambs may be gathered into your arms and gently led to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, restore to all Christian hearts the joy of your salvation by the blood of Christ. Make us eager to hear the voice of the gospel in the forgiveness of sins. So in turn, lead every Christian household, husbands, wives, and children, to speak the truth with our neighbors and to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, bless Congress and the justices of our nation, Donald, our president, Tim, our governor, and all other positions of civil authority. Lead them to administer their duties diligently in all godly wisdom, justice, compassion, and contentment for the well-being of our nation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, to our prayers, especially Emma, Bob, Jackie, Barb, Jerry, Patty, Kristen, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Moe, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, Belinda, and Talitha. Give healing, courage, and perseverance to all who cry to you, that they may find comfort in your enduring word and the certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life with Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of comfort, grant joy to those who come to your altar today in the eating and the drinking of Christ's very body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you and praise you, O Lord, for the prophets and all faithful saints who spoke in the name of the Lord before us. Make us steadfast in faith to look with hope for the revealing of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior, on the last day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, dear Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
True body of Christ. To eat the 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 true body of Christ. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Share the foundation of all your sins. By this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
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 Open the door. Look.
Take, eat, the true body of Christ, you with the death of your sin.
body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul life everlasting. Heart of peace. Amen.
Amen.
And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.